Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Whoop whoop. Hey everybody, welcome to another awesome tech, how was I gonna say that? I was gonna say something cool. I love making up new words, but awesome splendorific episode. There we go. That's
I like it.
Oh my goodness. Thank you everybody for joining us today for Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. We are so excited to have you here with us today. And I am Stephen Boster, your co-host, along with Mr. the one and only, the most illustrious, the awesomest, Mr. Michael Shank. Say hey to everybody, Mr. Mike.
Good morning, all you geeks out there in geekdom land. Hey, did I hear just a slight little Jack Nicholson Joker in your intro there? I almost heard a whoop, whoop.
You're only saying that because you got your new Batman 89 comic.
Darn right. Although I haven't read it yet.
Right? That's all right.
It's a fantastic cover, though.
Is it? Are we going to end up doing a whole episode on that? Probably.
Heck yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's a 6-part series, and I think I'm going to ask Jason Swank to be a part of it. I don't guarantee because he's a busy guy. But if I can get Jason Swank to be a part of that, I want him to be because he's a big 89 Batman fan. Also,
Yeah. Little known fact. Everybody knows him for Star Wars stuff, but he is a big Batman fan.
Yes, he is.
And everybody, if you're this first time joining us, hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you're here with us. Our main hub for everything Two Geeks is our twogeeksmike.com. That's our website, twogeeksmike.com. And there you can get to our Facebook page, Twitter, even our Ko-fi page. Ko-fi is kind of like Patreon, but we like it a little bit better. And it's just a lot of fun. So we do special pre-release episodes for those who are part of our subscribers. So you get the podcast a little bit early. Also on our website is our merch page, and which is kind of fun. So Mike has been working hard on that, and we got our mugs. There's the mugs. Everybody's got their mugs.
Technically, these are the old mugs because these are from Zazzle.
Those are the classic. They're not old. Yeah. They're the classic.
Or they're collector's items. They're collector's items
mugs. But that's correct.
Actually, you keep talking. I can show you a new one.
Okay, so I'm going to keep talking. And so we also release on our Ko-fi page the videos of the podcast too, for those who subscribe and stuff like that. So sometimes we'll reference something for people to see. And what Mike is referencing is the mugs, the collector's mugs. We had to change companies that produce our stuff. That's a whole other story that's in our previous podcast that we laugh about. And so we've got a new vendor and who's doing that work for us. So it's pretty exciting. And here he comes back with our new mugs. Ooh. which are pretty nice. They don't have the trim.
Yeah, they didn't offer the black that the old ones did, but I mean they're still a nice mug though.
They are a nice mug. Yeah. They are. Actually, it's nice and shiny.
Yes, it is.
Shiny. All right. So today, we actually have a wonderful reoccurring guest with us today. Mike, you want to introduce our guest and then you guys say hi. And then what are we talking about today? No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing around. I'm excited about our topic today, but I'll let you guys discuss that.
All right. So today we have back with us for I don't even know how many times now. We've had you on a few times.
I think this is fourth.
Fourth time? All right. Fourth time. Aaron McCoy of Geek with a Bible.
Yes.
Aaron's
yes.
very Glad. Thoughtful.
Happy to be here. So welcome, geeks. Welcome, nerds. Welcome, any jocks who might be geek curious. Or you're welcome as well. Glad to be here.
I love it. It's great having you here. Now, Aaron, if this is the first time that people are mm-hmm. are hearing you, they're catching up practice. Where can we find you on the web, on the net, the internet?
So two major places, YouTube and Facebook. Once again, it's Geek with the Bible. If you want more of the Bible content, that's going to be YouTube. So you know, right now doing a series, just going through Galatians, just a little bit of time doing like a Bible study. You know, a lot of times there's geek references throughout it. But it's more Bible centric. And then if you want the geek side, just kind of fun, humor, entertainment, some inspiration sprinkled in there. Then Facebook would definitely be a big spot. I got,
your memes are great, by the way.
Yes,
the
they
ones
are.
You find and repost, I absolutely love them. So thank you.
you are welcome. You are welcome. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of those, so thank you.
Yeah, every welcome. Once in a while, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have to send that one over to Two Geeks.
Yeah. We have been, yes. So we've been sharing some of those on our Facebook page.
Right.
And so we love the ones you pick out, by the way. So your taste in memes is impeccable.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah, it's fun. Just it's. Got a yeah, demented, clean but demented sense of humor. So
that's right. Well, thanks for joining us. It's great having you here with us. We do enjoy having you as part of our podcast at times. So love having you, Mike. What is our topic today?
Today we're gonna get into some Harley-rific Suicide Squad.
Harley-rific. Nice.
The Suicide Squad.
That's right.
The Suicide Squad.
That's right. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Steven slapped my wrist earlier about that, didn't he?
I did. Pre-show, we were going over notes and stuff, and I was like, no, it's not Suicide. It's Suicide Squad. It's the Suicide Squad.
So it's not Suicide Squad 2. It's the Suicide Squad.
Yes. Right. Isn't that funny? So, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. Here's kind of what we do here on the podcast. We do kind of like a virtual coffee table. So it's like three folks just getting together as if we were at a coffee shop and just talking geekdom. And today we're just talking Suicide Squad. So we're not going to do like a play-by-play. We just talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, kind of work through those, what things we laugh about, what things we cry about or get mad about, you know, grumpy Mike, you know. No, I'm just kidding. We always say
I wasn't Steve. Grumpy on this one at all.
We'll get to that. We do rate it. We do rate it what we liked about it. We do rate it at the beginning. And then at the end, we'll see if anybody changed anybody's minds in their rating. We kind of have fun with that. And now, spoiler alert. If we talk spoilers, so that's just who we are and what we do. But I do feel like we need to say that, you know, to let you know. So if you don't care about spoilers, listen on in. If you do,
go watch Suicide Squad and then come back and listen to the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please do. We don't want to spoil it for you because as you'll find out, I think we all enjoyed parts of this and things like that. They're probably our favorite parts are big spoilers. And so that's just who we are. And we just have a good time doing it. And with Aaron here, we're probably going to be doing some pooping and hollering. So
I bring the hoops. And the hollers.
Yeah. So we want to rate this thing?
Yeah. So, all right, let's start off. Here we go, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Right, what are we doing? Starfish?
No. We're doing Harley mallets.
Okay. Harley mallets. Okay.
I know she
doesn't have a mallet in this one. Does
I don't
she?
Care. That's my favorite weapon by Harley.
Not in the movie.
I don't care.
Well, everybody, you just found out who has final say on the podcast.
Oh, right, now every once in a while you put your foot down about things.
I do. Like it's the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, right. All right, you get the Suicide Squad. I get a Harley mallet. So right, I'm going to give it
I like how you just gave him the facts. It's like, okay, you can have reality. I'll let you have reality, but I'm going to have the thing that involves creative control.
Darn right.
That's a good pickup. There, that's good.
Yeah. That does kind of, that kind of makes us, yeah. Well, anyway, okay. I'm going to give this 4.5 Harley Mallets.
Four out of what? Four out of five.
Always out of five.
We always do that. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah.
What? Four and a half. Wow.
4.5. Yes.
All right.
I really like this movie.
Okay. I'll give it 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Harley Mallets. Aaron, what about you, my friend?
So I feel like now I watched it at home on HBO Max. I really, really feel like this should have been a theater watch.
I was there.
Yeah.
I think that if I would have seen it in theaters, I think I probably would have given it 4.5. But just judging on my own subjective at-home experience, I'll probably say 4.
Good clarification. All right. Let's start off with that. So, Mike, you saw it in the theater.
Yes, sir.
I watched HBO Max twice. Now I have a pretty I have a surround sound system in my home that I've built up over several years, you know, piece it together and kind of a thing. And I cranked up that sound to try to have that theater experience. But Aaron, I think you're onto something, that this really truly should have been a theater experience film.
Yeah, absolutely, cuz this is a whole, it's kind of a subgenre of superhero films, the over the top, gory, foul mouthed, R-rated superhero films. I mean, it's kind of like your Deadpool and your Kick-Ass and all of that. I mean, it is its own specific kind of genre. And the times I have seen those types of films in theaters, it's just one of my favorite experiences. I mean, I love it. You get that whole audience, and just the vibe of, you know, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Or is it, you can do that on film? You can actually do that? Oh, okay.
That's so true for this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This movie, it's the most comic booky film I've ever seen. Because comic books are weird, which I love. I mean, it's something about it. But this is just the weirdest, crazy, bloody, ball of fun. I think that the theater experience certainly would have been beneficial for this one.
Yeah, I do want to come back to the concept of Starro, and you know, that's not, they didn't just have that for the film, but I'll get into that later. Okay. But you're talking about that weird comic booky thing. Absolutely. I agree with that. That's a good point about audience, for lack of a better term, audience participation. You know what I'm saying? Where everyone's like, oh, I mean, there were several times in this movie that I was like, oh, they did that, you know, kind of a thing. And to be in an audience, to be in a theater, for everybody to have that experience at the same time, that was such a, Mike, was that your experience when you
went
to see it?
Yeah. There was a lot of good reactions in the theater. And I totally agree. You get a complete different experience at home than you do in the theater. There's something to be said about watching at home. I mean, it's nice. You get to sit on your own comfy couch or
you save $200 in popcorn.
I mean, we threw down probably close to $100 that day. I mean, that's including tickets to the film, popcorn, and then we went out to lunch beforehand. We actually saw it at the Edge Theater here in Belleville, which the Edge Theater is pretty nice because it's got its own little arcade and, heck, it's got an arcade, bowling alley, go-karts, laser tag, you know, it's pretty darn cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you got all that, and then you can eat lunch and we went and seen it in the, call it? Yeah, the bistro. On the bistro side, you could actually eat in the theater. You know, which is kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
We had gotten there early, so we opted to actually have lunch before we went to theater. So then, of course, we had to have popcorn. So
I have to say, probably eating lunch before you went to the theater was probably a better idea than trying to eat while watching the movie.
All right, we've done that before too.
No, I'm just talking about some of the content in the movie.
So, I mean, you throw out a lot of money when you go to the theater to see it. But there's something.
Or you can get your wife to have a bigger purse and just sneak the stuff in.
We're not advocating that on the show now.
I mean, I don't sneak.
Right. I've never snuck my own sweet tarts and M&Ms and
never. Once we actually, it was around Christmas time, and we actually snuck in milk and cookies. That was kind of fun.
Well, I have to admit, we do bring in sweet tarts and M&Ms and such.
Hey, your secret's safe with me, okay?
Thank you.
With me and all the listeners out there.
Right.
Across the globe.
Well, I think, you know, when you go to the theater and the concessions cost more than if you went to a sports game,
I don't know if they cost more. They pretty much match, which is already too expensive. But I don't know. There's something to be said about seeing it in the theater with a bunch of people, getting those reactions. That's totally different than home. They're just, it's two totally different experiences. Mm. I went and seen this in the theater. I wanted to support it in the theater. seeing how Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney for for what's going on over there. I thought, you know, maybe it's a good idea if I go give a few dollars at the theater and see it over there, you know, give them some love. So that's
a whole other subject today is how theater going is changing.
That's true.
And stuff. So, but I mean, and that's germane to this part is, was it better to see it at home? Now I'm a natural introvert. So I love seeing stuff at home and I watch movies. I love watching movies. That's kind of my thing. But I will say, when I watched this film, I said to myself, I probably should have gone to the theater.
Well, it just depends on the movie. I mean, there's some movies that introverted sort of, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pay attention to this. I'm going to watch it. I need to catch up everything. And then sometimes you have those films where it's a community experience where you got to have the group there and it changes the film.
Well, that's like Halloween Kills is coming out in October, and Megan and I are super excited about how we both are big Halloween fans. We love Michael Myers, so we're super excited. And I'm an advocate that you got to go see Halloween at least for the first experience in the theater. You know, you got to be around all those other people, hear the screams, hear the, you know, just, get that. Oh, it gives you the chills. I love it. I love that experience. So
that makes sense. I'm not a big horror film guy. But that does make sense. If you're watching it for the first time, you know, or in a theater, to hear everybody else's reactions and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, have you seen any, have you had that experience at all, Steven?
Which experience of seeing stuff in the theater?
Steven has.
With that kind of audience.
Steven has. He's had it with me.
Okay.
We did. We saw Strangeland, Schneider's.
D. Schneider's Strangeland. Mm-hmm.
That was the first one I saw. That was the first horror movie. Actually, Mike tricked me because I just thought, D. Schneider, he loves D. Schneider. Okay, let's watch a D. Schneider movie. That's fine. Cool. You know, I'm like, this movie's messed up.
Then we had a weird experience after the movie. Remember that, Steven?
So we watched the film. They have, yes, we do. I do.
This is a great story.
People in the audience and stuff. And so we come out after watching this strange movie, Strangeland. and so we're walking out to our cars and we're walking out there. And then we see somebody in their car and they're not moving.
They're slumped.
We just saw a horror movie. They're kind of slumped in their car. And so we're like, granted, we just saw a horror movie. We see somebody slumped up in their car. We're like, so we're like, I'm not touching that car. I'm not touching that car. So we go back to get an officer, you know, the guy there, so, who was really a rent-a-cop. Because I think he was just as scared as we were when we go there. Because he's reaching out. So you can imagine he's got his finger out and, you know, he's going to go for the window, but it's not like just walking up and tapping the window. It was like, okay, let me, I backed off a little bit. Let me see how far I can stretch out, you know, to tap on the window and stuff like that. And so he taps on the window and the person jumps up, you know, and they were sleeping in the car.
Okay. Okay.
And then they got up and then they didn't even, I don't remember what happened. I know they left. Yeah. They started their car and left. So.
Gotcha.
It was weird. So yeah. So
but it freaked us out. I mean, we were walking out of strange land, and that's like Rob Zombie before Rob Zombie did movies. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
and then we see this person slumped. I mean, they're almost slumped over their steering wheel. Mm-hmm. So it was like it looked like they died in their car.
Yeah.
And it freaked us out, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to touch the car in case somebody killed them, and you know. I don't want my prints in the car. You go touch the car.
Right. So anyway, let's talk about horror movies, right, the whole aspect of watching them. Yes, that is the only experience I have had of watching a horror film in a theater.
Okay.
And that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
So I guess this is just kind of the, because, I mean, it seems like you like this film, and this is a, you know, you could say it's horrific at some points on, but yet you still like this. So is it, I guess, just kind of the darker tones or?
That great question. So I can watch more war movies because of the concept. It's, you know, war and you see stuff, sure. like Saving Private Ryan or those kinds of things and fighting and superheroes fighting. And that's where my brain went, but yes, this was edgy. This was R. We'll get into that. But, I think you're right. Now, you know, I don't think I've really pondered or thought through, but I think the darker tone of horror movies, kind of the evil-esque nature bringing out the darkness, that does not. Now, I did watch Hellraiser at your place, Mike, I think a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. You probably did watch Hellraiser with me.
that was kind of one of the first movies that I was like, this is a horror movie. I'm out.
That is almost as messed up as Strange Land, honestly.
I don't know. That was probably more so because I was like, this is. So I think it is the darker tone, and I say evil-esque nature. Now, but I've watched the TV show, the first season, not the second season, of Evil. And I find it very intriguing and interesting. I haven't watched the second season because it's on Paramount Plus. So I'm like, nah, I'm not paying for Paramount for that.
Well, now, so, I think with Suicide Squad, the violence in Suicide Squad is more of a Bugs Bunny-esque violence.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, R-rated Bugs Bunny.
Right.
R-rated Bugs Bunny. Right. I love that.
It's done in a much more comedic fashion. So maybe that's why you're a little more comfortable with it. I mean, we're talking kill counts and, you know, just silliness, just complete and total silliness.
Yeah, which there are a lot of horror movies that do kind of dip into that. I mean, I actually think a lot of like I really like Freddy vs. Jason. And I think a lot of that is comical and just kind of over the top ridiculous. It's you right. know.
Well, I think with Suicide Squad, let's talk about the first moment you realize this is going to, for me, the first moment that I realized this is rated R.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing, okay. Was when they get.
Oh, yeah. Disclaimer, anyone thinking about taking their kids to see this movie, do not take your kids to see this movie. This is not a children's movie.
Well, we let Troy watch it with us.
Did you really?
Yes, because I did not think it was going to go where it went and stuff.
Oh now, my gosh, I am shocked.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, you have those dad moments where you're like, oops.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then there was another oops.
Yeah, and you can't and
you're a man, son.
Right.
And you can't just go, okay, well, you know what? I made a mistake. Go, you can't watch this. you're in it now.
At the end of the movie, I was like, buddy, I said, I'm so sorry. That's a little more violent than I thought it would be. He goes, I loved it. So, awesome. Yeah. So anyway, so that first scene on the beach where what's his name? I can't even think of his name. Where he comes up, he's like, I called you guys. And, you know, wait a minute. I'm the one who called and, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot and you're like, the whole face disappears. You're like, oh, yep. I was like, holy cow, we went there. Now, let me ask you guys this real quick about rated R superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Do they, you know, there's always this big push that the studios are like, no, PG-13, PG-13. And the creators are like, no, I want an R movie, PG-13, R. Is it because PG-13 really makes more money than rated R superhero films? I've heard that argument. Mm-hmm. But then I also hear, well, Deadpool did really well, but I think that's the expectation of the character, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that the more people you can get into the film, the more money you're going to get. So it's like, and especially because superhero films do appeal to so many kids, you know, it's like, you're cutting off like half of the people who want to watch it. I mean, I remember being a kid and, you know, I couldn't watch Batman Returns because, I mean, you know, that's a dark film and dark. Took me a little while to watch that one. And so you are kind of cutting off half of your market whenever you make. And then that was actually a big controversy too. A lot of parents were really upset about Batman Returns because they had like Happy Meals of that. They had, you know, all these toys and all this marketing towards kids. Batman Returns is not a kid's movie.
Okay, now Batman Returns, y'all yes. know 89 yeah. Batman is my favorite, and I do really like Batman Returns. I think that's it's not as good as the 89, but I think it's a solid Batman mm-hmm. film, and
I've gone back and forth on which one I like better. I really like
it. Really? I mean, yeah. I need to rewatch it again, but anyway.
Yeah.
So I remember when Megan was little mm-hmm. and it was around Christmas time and we were looking for something to watch and she likes Batman too. And I thought, let's watch Batman Returns. You know, we'd watched Batman 89 many times and mm-hmm. she hadn't seen Returns yet. And I thought, let's watch Returns.
And how old did you say she was?
I want to say she was probably about 7 or 8, something like that.
Okay.
And I started watching it and I went, oh man, I forgot the sexual innuendos and this one's pretty violent. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I had one of those moments, Stephen, where it's like, well, I've already let you watch it this far. I can't, you know, back out now. So we watched it and she loved it, you know, but, and a lot of it went over her head. Thank goodness at that time anyway.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
But it was that kind of thing. It was like, well, yeah, this probably wasn't the best movie to let her watch, you know. But I think you find that out with a lot of these movies. It depends on the character. It depends on the background of the character. I mean, like a Punisher. I think a Punisher deserves a rated R film.
Yeah,
He's just that type of character, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got Spawn coming up, and I think Spawn deserves a rated R film too.
It's the character. I think you're right. It's all about the character.
I think that's why
Deadpool did so well, because it was Deadpool.
And mm-hmm. and as far as rated R superhero films goes, the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. I did say that right. That was the highest grossing superhero film, rated R superhero rated film R, in history.
Are they rated high? Let me see. It might actually be the highest rated R film.
I didn't know. I knew it was a superhero film. I thought it was fairly genre specific on that one, but you could be right. I don't know.
I have to look it up.
If you're not adjusting for inflation, if you're just looking at dollars, it is the number one R-rated film.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. But I think it's also the most profitable R-rated film.
Right. But I think you have to take in consideration that they didn't have to have the type of effects for this. Like Suicide Squad, there's tons and tons of effects.
Yes.
So there was a lot of money that went into Suicide Squad where Joker was a very low budget film, so they could get away with a lot. So,
well, same with the number two and number three are both the Deadpool movies. And the first Deadpool was very low budget. They didn't put a whole lot into that one. So that certainly helped as well.
Sure.
I love it how we do our research on the fly.
Oh, yeah. We're not the only ones.
That's true. That's true. Well, okay. So Rated R film, they're storming the beach. Mm-hmm. And were you guys surprised that they killed off almost everybody in the first, right at the beginning?
I figured there'd be a high kill count, but that many people that quick. It was shocking because I started watching it with my wife, and it was kind of late. She started getting tired, but at first she's like, "Oh, hey, look, that's the Yondu guy." Oh, you know, he dies. And she's like, "Wait, what?"
Right.
Well, yeah, but we knew over half of those were going to die right away because they're not on the poster.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute. I didn't see them in any of the ads. In fact, Yondu, I don't know what his character's name was in Suicide Squad. When he came on, I was like, I didn't know he was in this movie. But of course, it didn't surprise me too much because James Gunn was the director of this. So I'm sure that's the reason he was in it.
You know? Which the other one that he always likes to get in his films is what's his name? Michael Fillion? Is that his name?
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was so mad that he died that quick. Cause I love that actor and
I love, I think he's great. I'm a big Firefly fan.
Yeah.
That's why I really enjoy him. Yeah. I was surprised. Actually, I thought his superpower was just a detachable arm. I'm like, what's going on? You know, it's like all of a sudden here comes this battle. And then, all of a sudden it's like a switch is flipped and like, they're not all that great. You know, God, these guys aren't all that good.
Yeah.
Well, what was his name? It was D. What the heck was his name?
DDK.
DDK. Detachable kid. That's what it was. It was freaking hilarious. Now, man, James Gunn pulled out some insane, crazy, deep dive DC characters for this. I mean, I had never heard of Polka Dot Man, but apparently he's a thing. Yep. You know, I didn't
Created
know
he... by Bill Finger, actually.
Oh, wow. That's wild. That's wild. I didn't know that. Anyone who doesn't know that Bill Finger was actually co-creator of Batman, by the way.
Primary creator. Yeah, Bob Kane stole all the glory, but
we find that out hindsight, of course.
Yes.
You know, Steven and I actually went and seen a panel with I can't remember if it's his granddaughter or niece
I think his granddaughter.
Bill Finger's granddaughter?
Yes. Yeah. And that's when she was trying to bring attention to the fact that Bill Finger was so involved with the creation of Batman.
But they did the book, and then that book became a documentary. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great documentary, too. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend watching that.
So, Bill Finger, sorry. We got to keep starting. Yeah, keep going off on that.
I know. Yeah, big time squirrels.
Squirrel really bad.
Man, he pulled out some deep dives in this, and it was like, holy cow. Yeah. Peacemaker. Peacemaker was another one. I had heard of Peacemaker, but I didn't really know anything about him. And I watched a variant video on Peacemaker, which was pretty interesting too. That's a good one to watch also. So I'm like
Kehonis, the Eris Kehonis.
Yeah.
I remember whenever the first Iron Man movie came out, and I remember reading a review that said Marvel now going to their C-list characters. And looking back on that now, it's like, man, if Iron Man was a C-list hero, what in the world are we into now?
Well, that's true, though. Right? He was on the verge of being canceled, actually. You know, Marvel was getting ready to get rid of him and Captain America.
So what you're saying is Iron Man was C-list, and what are these guys?
Yeah, negative F, you know. but that's the amazing thing. What James Gunn's been able to do is to resurrect these people that people don't really know about. It's like, I remember the same thing with like Guardians. Whenever they first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I had no idea who they were.
I was the same way. I had never even heard of Guardians of the Galaxy. And in fact, when I first heard it was being released, my first thought was, I'm not going to see this movie. I don't know anybody in it. I don't even care. And then I saw the previews for it, and I went, holy cow, this movie looks fantastic.
Yes.
And, yeah, and it was. It was great. So, yeah, I think James Gunn was a good choice for the director of this. This was a big improvement over the first one. And, I don't dislike the first film. I dislike the bad guy in the first film. I thought it was a bad choice.
Yeah. And it also, it didn't make sense, like the Suicide Squad that they had, like these people who are, I throw a boomerang really well. And I'm kind of a crazy clown lady. Okay, you're going to go up against a supernatural sorceress.
Right.
It's like, what the heck are these guys going to do? Now, as to where I think that this type of mission is certainly a lot more well suited for a Suicide Squad.
Now, I got to admit, when I heard who the bad guy was for this, my first thought was, really? How is this going to translate the film?
Yep.
And then my second thought is, it's James Gunn. It's going to work. I'm not even going to worry about it.
Yep.
And then my third thought was, oh, crap, we're going to have another situation where the bad guy is not matched to the
comic.
The squad.
Right, to the Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think they did a great job. I think they pulled this one off way better than they pulled off the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Right.
Well, in all fairness, I didn't even know anything about Starro. And so, obviously, the first thing when I tried to do a little bit of research about Starro was Robot Chicken. And I watched a Robot Chicken episode that had Starro in it. And it was like, oh, it's the same thing. They're doing the same. You know, it's almost like James Gunn took the Robot Chicken episode and put it on the big screen.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to watch that.
It's pretty good. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I love Robot Chicken. I don't know if I should say that out loud or not. But I first got hooked on Robot Chicken with Star Wars Robot Chicken stuff. So that's what got me. That was my gateway drug.
Oh, I have to say, Aaron, you kind of disparaged one of my favorite characters from the first one little bit. But I got to say, one of my most disappointing kills was Captain Boomerang, because I actually thought Captain Boomerang was one of the best things about the first film.
Oh, I like the character. I'm not saying anything against him. It's just the idea of
I know,
this power up again. Well, same thing with like Harley. I mean, Harley's a great character. But don't send Harley to, you know, defeat an evil sorceress.
Right, I agree.
Displaced. Yeah.
I agree.
Totally. Yeah, and I like how you got to see him in the R-rated film slicing the tops of their heads off with the boomerangs.
Yes, right? All that whole beach scene. That whole beach scene was just mind blowing. And then it led into this whole thing about how Amanda Waller is not a good person.
No.
Even her own people don't think she's a good person.
Right.
I mean, they knocked her out, for God's sake.
Right. But I mean, here she sent a whole first crew to serve as a distraction. So the second squad could get on the
Beach,
you know, landing a beach. I'm like, so you did all of that whole opening where we got the introduction to these new characters, to the ferret guy, not the ferret guy. Sorry. Whatever.
What was he again?
Weasel.
That's right. Weasel. Oh, that was so funny.
We get Nathan Fillion. I was excited about seeing his character. Boomerang.
Did anyone bother to check and see if Weasel could swim?
Right.
Oh, I love it when they're in the plane and they're trying to figure out what in the world he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say an Afghan now.
He's a werewolf. Yeah. We got a werewolf. Harley's going crazy. We got a werewolf.
Right.
Yeah. That was actually the mocap for him was done by brother, Sean Gunn, who also did the mocap for Rocket.
Oh, he sure did. That's right.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And he was in there too, because Sean Gunn was in the prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Calendar Man.
It was who?
Calendar Man.
Oh, I didn't pick that out.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Very cool.
Which, yeah, everyone... sorry, something else, just a little bit of fun fact. Both James Gunn and Sean Gunn are both St. Louis natives.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did not know that either.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's cool.
We create the greats.
Yep. My first, just another side note, my first interaction with Sean Gunn was when he was in Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was great in that.
And he was absolutely hysterical in Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls is surprisingly a great show. I will defend Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
It's got pop culture references. It's fast talking and blah, blah, blah. But Sean Gunn was hysterical. And
I'm
then,
sorry. Funny, what are we talking about? Huh?
Gilmore Girls. Genuine.
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Yeah. All right. Okay. But anyway, Sean Gunn is in. Is he in every single one of James Gunn's his brother's movies?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Like, cause I know.
So the mocap for Weasel was done by.
Yes.
That's Sean. Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's kind of like Ron Howard.
Yes.
Pretty much always has his brother Clint. Yeah.
Yes.
And Clint was fantastic in Solo.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait, who was he in Solo? I got to rewatch that.
He was the guy. You remember where the droids are fighting in like the boxing ring? He was the one in charge of that.
Oh, yeah. I got to go back and watch it again. Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. Back to Suicide Squad. My bad, everybody. Yeah. Sorry. So Amanda Waller's not real nice. and so then, you know, it sets up all this for this whole team. James Gunn just did a brilliant job with this.
He did.
Sets up for this whole team, Squad One, and then kills them almost all, you know, right at the very beginning. Boom, they're all gone. I mean, I was like, what in the world? And then you get this new team, and then it goes, you know, 3 days earlier or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know, kind of a thing. And I do like, speaking of which, I do like how he did the transitions, how James Gunn did the transitions. Like when he announced like today or now or you know, or Operation, you know, Jotunheim, and then scratches. And, oh, wait, no, Operation Harley, you know, Harlequin, you know, kind of thing. I liked how he did that. That was creative.
Very, very comic booky. I see that kinds of things.
Yes.
Comic books a lot.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes. Well stated. Yep. Yeah. So that was,
and
really
like
good.
How it was like designed into the backgrounds of everything, you know, like vines and stuff like that. Yeah. You're right. That extremely comic booky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love
really
it.
Good. Now let me ask you this. I know Harlequin is your favorite character in this, Mr. Mike. Do you believe that this is the best version of Harlequin so far in the films?
I think so. Yeah.
Now, did you see the Emancipation, the Birds of Prey movie?
I have not seen Birds of Prey. I have not heard very many good things about Birds.
Same here.
You know, I liked it. I seen it. I liked it. But honestly, I barely remember anything from it. just a few little snippets. So I would say, I mean, if you're a Harley fan, I would say it's worth watching, but it's not.
See, I heard that her character just did not live up to what we know her as. That's what I've heard about it. I can't speak from experience because I don't know.
So, but basically what we've seen of Harley is I've heard this for this movie, and I agree. I think this is the best version of Harley that we've gotten. We see how crazy she is. We see how talented she is, you know, kind of thing. We get all of that within this film. And I think that's just what I heard. I want to get your guys' opinion that this is, and I agree. I think this is the best version of Harlequin that we've gotten so far.
I think it was a great version of her. And I think we got a good balance of her too. She didn't overpower the film. She didn't completely take it over, but she wasn't sidelined either. She had a very good balance in within the film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I almost would have rather her be more integrated or part of the team throughout more of it. Sometimes it felt a little jerky of jumping between the different characters and the different people. You know, sometimes if I was with the main group too long, I'd be like, oh, where's Harley? You know, what's going on with her? But it still worked. I mean, so it did allow for them to focus on her for that little side bit. She got that great action scene with all the flowers and everything.
Yes.
I love it when they get there to rescue her and she comes out in the alley and she's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
We're come to rescue you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. You want me to go back inside?
Yeah.
I'll go back inside.
I love it. That was fantastic. But I, Aaron, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you to a certain extent, but I think you run into that with these films with such a big cast.
Yes.
That's somewhere where you just gotta figure out how to balance that. Mm-hmm. And I think they did okay with it.
I think they definitely had a lot more characters. I mean, I think if I had any kind of thing negative to say about that, about the film, it's just kind of that. There were just some times that the balancing, I don't think was quite where it needed to be. Now, how to do that? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they did a much better job than I could do. But
we're not directors.
Yes.
I will say I do agree with you. One of the things we've talked about this with Spider-Man 3, there's too many villains. We've talked about, you know, there's so many people. How do you set up for all these different characters and give them their due? I mean, we set up how many different characters and we killed them all in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh man. So now, you know, now we have these other ones. And how do you spend time with, and they're great characters. I think that's the issue.
Oh yeah.
You've got some good characters that you set up really well. And now they're not quite, you know, fleshed out, you know, about them, but how do you go back and forth to give them their time you need for the film? And I do think they did the best job they could with the time of what they had to do. I'm so glad they didn't spend time trying to explain the Suicide Squad all over again. It was like, you popped right in. This is who we are. This is what we do. Moving on.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And I think they had to do that with some of the characters as well.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, the first Suicide Squad, I mean, good God, they spent like half the movie just setting up who each person is. I mean, it's...
That's true.
Here's the introduction for Harley. Now here's another introduction. Now here's another backstory. And it's just like, yeah, it takes way too long to her. This one, it's just like, okay, we're here. We're bad guys and fighting for something good. That's it.
Yeah, see, I don't think you need a complete introduction of each character in this style of film. For one, you got too many characters to do that. That's one thing. Two, I think we as an audience are mature enough to know, okay, just show me what the character can do. I can get into it and I can enjoy it. And if things go from here, maybe this character gets a solo film. And then that's where we learn more about them. Mm-hmm. You know, the last few Batmans that we've seen, both Brenda and I have both been like, look, I don't want another retelling of the Batman,
beginning.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it way too many times. Everybody on the planet knows how Batman became Batman. We don't need to see this. Throw me into the action, get me into the story. And I think that's what they did with this. They just said, okay, here are your characters and go, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's the best way to do this scenario.
Yeah, and then you get some of the backstory as you go along.
Sure.
You know, people will tell about what
like
happened.
Like we did with Polka Dot Man.
Sure, yes, yes, absolutely.
And that was done well, too. I mean, because, you know, he had something happening with him, and all the other characters are like, what the heck's going on with this guy? Mm-hmm. So it was a good way to tell his story. Right, but not give a full, you know, we didn't need an entire... half
I didn't
hour.
Need to keep seeing. I didn't need to keep seeing Polka Dot Man's mother. I will say that.
I did. I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny. I'm just being silly. It was funny though. I was like, oh, poor guy.
Especially the Starro one at the end.
Oh yeah, that was great when Bloodsport's like, Polka Dot Man, that's your mother.
That's true. Now, hang on a second. I want to come back. Mike, you made a comment about someone getting a solo film and stuff. I've heard the rumor that what's his name? The John Cena's character. I can't think of all of them.
Oh, Peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
Yep.
Peacemaker is going to get his own. Now,
not a film. It won't be a film, though.
Oh, what are they doing?
They're doing an HBO Max TV series.
Okay. So here is my thought about that, because I got to get this off my chest. I'm not thrilled about it because he's a bad guy and he killed off Flag. I couldn't believe they killed off Flag. I was surprised at that because Flag's always been a constant with Suicide Squad.
Sure.
You know, kind of thing. And they killed him off, which, okay, I get it. It was a neat surprise. But I'm like, and this guy tried to kill one of the other good guys. So how in the world are you going to make a TV series about a bad guy who's really bad? Now, I get it. I thought it was well done about the whole aspect that he loves killing people and he does it in the name of liberty. But that was just an excuse for him to kill people, kind of a thing. I get that. And that's unique. And I love that. I don't know if I can get behind a whole solo series with him, even though it is John Cena. But he's a bad guy. I don't root for bad guys.
That's the reason he's getting his own series, because he's John Cena.
Unless you see him develop within this, of actually learn how to, you know, how to actually love peace and how to actually, you know, I think that's what you can get with a TV show. You can really dive deeper with people. I mean, they intentionally made him one dimensional because, once again, he is the villain. He is the bad guy. And so sometimes, which, you know, I know we talked a lot about, you know, the villains who are right in their own mind, right in their own story. But sometimes you also want a villain who's just bad, because we want to root against them. You know, we don't want to see someone as human, as complex, all these things. Sometimes you just want to hate the person. Sometimes you want a, you know, deep, multi-layered character. Sometimes you just want a Nazi that you can just go, okay, bad guy, shoot him. That's it. We're done.
Right.
So I think for this film, they were definitely going for that with him. But you know,
the villains define the hero.
Yes.
I mean, that's how I understand that. The villains help define the hero. They cause tension in the hero. They are a reflection, almost a mirror of the hero in a different way, kind of a thing.
Most of the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's their role, is to define the hero, and you root for the hero. I don't know if I can get behind Peacemaker, even though he may change. I don't know if it's enough for me to start watching, if they do that, for me to start watching it, I guess. And I'm just like, I don't know. He killed my favorite character. He tried to kill Ratcatcher too.
Yeah.
You know.
But now, so, Aaron, I'm questioning some your motive here. Sure. With the fact that you say that Peacemaker is just evil to be evil, I don't look at him that way. I think that he thinks he is the good guy, because his whole motive is I will do anything I can to achieve peace.
Yes. So, yes. Well, I wouldn't say that he's. I think that he has shut off his brain.
I agree with that.
He made this decision of, I am a soldier. I am on the side of peace. And whatever my orders are, those are my orders, and that's it. So there is something there. There is
Crosshair. Sorry.
We'll come back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that there's also a one-dimensional. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's reason there. There's logic there. He's not evil for evil's sake. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying
okay.
is that his motivation is one-dimensional, or that it's just it is what it is, you know. I mean, that's we can just say, okay, this guy's over the line, he's evil, we got to stop him.
But see, I don't look at him as the Joker, especially if we take the Dark Knight Joker, and you know, he just wants to cause chaos. That's that's his whole purpose in life, is just to cause. And I don't look
see
at
the world burn.
Yes, exactly. I don't look at Peacemaker in that way at all. Peacemaker thinks that he's doing things for the good, actually.
Yes.
Where the Joker could care less about good. Makes no difference to him. Like you said, I can eat a cookie or I can murder somebody.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
With him, the murder is going to it's going to depend on, does this, you know, achieve what I'm trying to get to?
Yes. So, yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate the thoughts. That's good. Okay. Now, so I tell you what, Aaron, to be open with you, I'll probably see if that's the direction they take his character. That yeah. This whole thing of here's what I thought was good. And then my character development is realizing a better version of that and therefore mm-hmm. a better version of me. Excuse me. So, okay. I'll pay attention and I'll see. But I was just like, man.
Yeah, no, but I do get where you're coming from too with this as well. Because actually, like, he was a character that I liked him in it. I was expecting a little more. I think probably because he was a villain. I think that they didn't want you to like him too much.
Right.
That. Well,
so
and
I'm
it
not
could
supposed to like him too much. Why am I going to watch a series with him? That's my point.
Well, exactly. Maybe that's why they did make him one dimensional, so that he gets fleshed out more in the TV series, and maybe that's what they're hoping people will draw people to it. Go, okay, what makes this guy tick?
Right.
Plus, again, it's John Cena, and they know that name is going to bring people to the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's all right. I'll give you that. Okay. So my other traumatic event was Flag getting killed. I was like, dadgummit.
I agree.
Yeah.
Dadgummit.
Yeah. I think we're all crushed by that, actually.
Aaron's like, yeah, he deserved to go.
I don't know too much about him. I really haven't, in the comics that I've read, I haven't seen too much of him. So all I have is basically the first Suicide Squad, which I think that he was a much better character in this film. I definitely, I really liked him in this. He was kind of neutral right. for me in the first film. He was just kind of there. I didn't even really remember him until I rewatched it recently.
Wow.
Yeah. But I really liked him in this one.
Now, see, I've not read any of the Suicide Squad comics, although I might delve into them on the DC app. So I really didn't know anything about Rick Flag until the first film. And I liked him in the first film. I thought he was a good character. I really enjoyed him. So mm-hmm. I was thrilled that he was back for the second one. And he had a bigger part, much more of a leader in the second film. Well, mm-hmm. he kind of fought with Bloodsport a little bit for the leadership yeah. of the team, which was fun. That was a fun little back and forth between, especially the kill count at the beginning. That was great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, watch this. Loved it. So so yeah, when they killed him, I felt like you, Steven. I was like, what? You just took out Rick Flag. I mean, he should be going into the third movie. You know what's going on here? And then mm-hmm. I was actually when we stuck around for the after credit scene, mm-hmm. I was actually, that's what I was hoping was going to happen, that we were going to find out that Rick Flag actually wasn't dead. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, yes. we find out it was Peacemaker.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So yeah. that was a disappointment too. But
I was like, ah, man. Yeah. Kind of a thing. So I agree. All right. Thanks for letting me get off my yeah. chest and stuff. No, all right, what are the things you guys liked or disliked?
Love King Shark.
Sylvester so Stallone did the voice, right?
Hand.
Yeah. that was just great. That was.
I wear a mustache.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's so different. Okay, I know, Aaron, you said you didn't watch the Flash TV series. Mm-hmm. King Shark was in the Flash TV series, and I love him in the Flash TV series. But he is nothing like he is in this movie.
Oh, I'm sure. I figured. I'm like, okay, whatever this character is, I'm sure that this was a creative change.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge creative change. But yeah. I loved, and I like both versions of the King Shark character. Mm-hmm. Another aspect of the multiverse, Steven, that I enjoy.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. Very very Groot-like in a lot of ways.
Yes.
That simple, kind, but also violent at the same time.
Right.
A sweet monster. Yeah.
Yes. We weren't sure where
he picked up on that.
We weren't sure where he was when he tried to eat Ratcatcher, though.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't his friend at the time.
Right.
He was just hungry.
He's hungry.
Hungry.
And I got to admit, you know, they're kind of, oh, especially Bloodsport, he's freaking out. He's like, this guy could eat any of us at any time. I'm like, well, he is a shark. That's what sharks do. You know, that's pretty much all they do is eat. They are eating machines. Mm-hmm. I watch Shark Week every year. There should have been a Shark Week episode with him.
Well, that'd be good. Hosted.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Nom nom. Yeah, so, you know, Aaron, that's a good point. I thought the same thing as far as, you know, there's a parallel here in James Gunn movie making that I thought, here's the shark. That's totally Groot. Mm-hmm. Totally Groot style, you know, a character from Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. So, and again, it's a whole team, same kind of thing as Guardian. So, yeah, I think James Gunn did a really good job. I think it's a wheelhouse thing for him. Yeah. I think he did really good with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we need to talk about the bad guy.
Yeah.
The big bad guy, the true bad guy in this one.
Yes, Starro.
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were going back to Peacemaker.
No. No, I mean, who was the bad guy for the film? I know Peacemaker was kind of the underlining bad guy leading up to other things.
Yes.
But Starro was the actual adversary in this film. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Starro. Okay, I knew Starro because I watched Justice League animated series, and Starro was a part of that. And, I mean, he was interesting in the Justice League animated series, but I think he works well on a cartoon. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how that's going to translate to film.
It's like looking live action. Yeah. Right.
And you know what? It was goofy, but at the same time, it was freaking awesome. I loved it.
It worked.
I was like, this works. I can't believe this works.
Yeah. You know, I was reminded a lot of the I know you guys aren't big Watchmen fans, but I know in the original comics, the big devastating event was this like space squid that was summoned to destroy the city. And, you know, in that time, 10 years ago, even though Watchmen is like almost direct shot for shot that comic book, it's a very, very comic booky film. It's still like, OK, we can't have a giant squid attacking a city and make it believable. Like that's just a step too far.
And that's the way I felt about this with a giant star, you know,
yes,
but how are they going to do it?
They did it. Like the fact they did it, it's both scary and sympathetic. I mean, that last line, whenever he dies, whenever he's like, I was happy floating and looking at the stars. You're like, did you just make me care about that thing?
Right.
Right.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great point.
That was amazing. I mean, just, and that's one of those things too, is just, this is a comic book, like the amount of weirdness, both having King Shark and Starro. This is a comic book on film.
Oh yeah. A real true comic book on film. Yeah. Yes. You're right. Yeah. That's good insight.
I got to say, I think this is the most comic booky comic book movie ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So something else.
Steven's trying to process just what I said. I can see his eyes.
I was thinking back of, well, what other comic book movies were there that were pretty, you know, campy kind of a thing? But I don't know. I will say this. It is the most comic book film that we have that's good.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So
it pulled it off. Yeah.
He did pull it off. I'm amazed that he did. But yeah.
Okay, so real quick, actually I can't stay too much longer, but I didn't want to get you know me, I got to get philosophical with stuff and kind of get into the theme.
Here we go.
That's part of the reason we have you on, Aaron.
Yes, yes. So the message that I got out of this film, I thought was pretty brilliant. So this whole movie I see is sort of his take on America. Okay. So you've got the beginning, the Suicide Squad, you have this big American flag in the back. You know, they're part of the military. It's definitely a view of America and how we are both. I think a lot of it's connected with what Ratcatcher 2 says in the end about her dad, who's saying about that even rats, you know, these have a purpose. And you see these things with the Suicide Squad, how these are pretty bad people, but there are also good people. There's also good sides there. I mean, we care about these people. There's things, there are some form of redemption. There's things that are still good amongst all the bad and all the griminess. And because even though, I'm a patriot, but there are some things that America has been a part of that's not great, the least. And this definitely highlights that. I mean, this whole thing of like, oh, well, we can do things in other countries and just kind of, you know, keep it hush hush so that we still have the image and all that. I mean, there's all kinds of things, I'm sure, that we don't know about. But the thing is that even though there's some griminess there, even though there's some things that could be kind of despicable and kind of awful, there's still good there. There's still something that's admirable there. There's still something that's worthy. I love redemption. You know, I love the things of, okay, let's rise out of, let's not look at the worst aspects. Let's try to bring up the best out of people, the best out of them. And that's a lot of what I see of this film, is that it's like, you know what? There's still good here. There's still something admirable, and let's try to bring that out more. Yeah, we can condemn the evil stuff. We can still point it out. We can still acknowledge the bad there, and even still acknowledge that some of this is a tragedy. So that's the thing of them killing Starro and giving us a little bit of that sympathy for him. Or her, I'm not sure what kind of gender the
good point.
But you have that sympathy, but the thing still had to die. Like, it still needed to be done. It still needed to be taken down. But yet this is still a tragedy. This is still not great. So it does get into some of those gray areas and just to kind of make us both face the bad and the good at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good.
You know,
sometimes the things that have to be done aren't necessarily the happy.
Yeah. Aaron, I have to give you kudos because, you know, you're honing in exactly why filmmakers do what they do. It's not just, you know, there's a story that I want to get across, or there's a moral or something to make us question or something to bring out. And that is really good. What you brought out with what James Gunn was bringing, you know, that whole aspect of look, you know, there's good and bad, or let's take the bad, but still within the bad, there's still good. Now, yeah. I mean, we can always go back to Star Wars reference. There's still good in him. You know, we get all that, but this is different than that. This is, you know, here's people who have done bad things. Can they still be used for good? And the question, I think the answer is yes. And then the state of America. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we did some waterboarding techniques that I'm like, I was shocked when I learned about that.
Sure.
You know, those kinds of, and so I just say that as an illustration or an example, excuse me, of yes, you're right. We as a country have done things that we probably shouldn't do. And we see that with Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
You know, she's the epitome of, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah. I think also with the fight between Peacemaker and Rick Flag?
Rick Flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he's like saying, look, this isn't the America that I thought I was serving. Like, I'm, you know, this isn't what I thought was here. So you kind of get those two forms of soldiers as well, of those two different sides.
You get those two perspectives, as Ben Kenobi would say, point of view.
Yes.
You know, they each coming from a strong point of view of what they believe is right. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, and, you know, here's one who says, I'll do liberty and freedom no matter what it takes.
Yes.
Yep.
And then the Flag is saying, wait a minute, we've crossed a moral boundary here in order to do freedom. And that's not what I signed up for. Yeah. Gosh, that's a great insight. I'm going to be thinking about that all day long.
I like the illustration between the two of them. I think that's really good. And Stephen, I think that's why you really, and me too, I think that's really why Flag's death bothers us. Because we want to see that good side win. We want that patriotic, you know.
I hate it when the good guy does not win. Right. Absolutely. There's something within me that's visceral that gets really upset about that. And maybe I think you're right. That's,
because even Amanda Waller kind of wins in this. Yeah. Like, it is kept a secret. You know, she gets what she wants. Yeah, she got knocked upside the head, but
it was great.
Yeah, that is satisfying.
But, that was that was a great way to put that.
Yeah, but yeah, but it's still once again trying to find the good despite all the, you know, all the bad that's there. Trying to see the like I was talking with Michael earlier. I work at a behavioral school, and some of these kids, like, just, you know, you say the wrong thing, they'll take their breakfast and just throw it across the room, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it's just like, you have to see the good in them. You have to be able to look past all the negative responses and
see the actions that they take.
Right.
Yeah. See the person behind the negative actions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty amazing. Good.
That's great. Aaron, gosh, thanks for bringing that perspective. That's really good. That, you know, I'm one of those logical, organized kind of guys and love to process stuff. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
We need to come up with a sounder for when Aaron's on, so we have Aaron's philosophical moment. We need a sounder.
Right. <for that. laughs> Now we're getting to the philosophical segment of our show. Aaron.
Philosophy chair.
So. Yeah, I like it.
So, all right. Yeah, I've got
to. All right. Well, yeah, we probably need to wrap up and stuff like that. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I love it.
Great way to finish the show. That's fabulous and stuff. So, yeah, thanks for being here with us. It's great having you. So everybody, don't forget, check out Geek with a Bible Facebook page for all the fun memes and geekdom stuff. And Bible stuff is on his YouTube channel as well.
Yep.
Mike, do you want to roll us out for the thing? Any last words? That sounded funny. Any final thoughts, Aaron, that you may have about the?
Just keep it coming. Just keep getting weird. Just keep digging out these characters and allow, you know, with the studios, I definitely got to take my hat off to Warner Brothers. I know there's been a lot of problems with them, but this film, they allowed James Gunn to make a James Gunn film.
They sure did.
Got to give them kudos. So just, you know, in order to keep things interesting, you got to go weird. You got to let people make the films they want to make. Because if you think about, like, Joker in this, such different films.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Different films, but still, you know, these are the visions of the directors.
Yep. Love it. I agree. Good stuff. Mike, it's all on you, my friend.
All right. With that said, thank you very much, Aaron. We really appreciate having you on. We love your philosophical moments. And over and out, and may the force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.